Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
And a wonderful, wonderful afternoon to you, my friends. This is Brad Zockel. You are listening to the Questions About Heaven podcast, in which we talk about the wonders of heaven. We have really been going over a number of different things as we continue to study the depths of what God has for us, the promises for the believer, to those who have given their life to Jesus Christ and follow Him, are faithful followers, as He says in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them." Why? Because they follow Me. And so as we do see these wonderful promises of heaven, we have been taking time into what I call the Revelation edition of the Scriptures, and we are looking at Revelation chapter 19. We are just a few chapters away from the culmination of the promise to the believer, what Jesus has promised, the way, the truth, and life has made it possible for our salvation. As we know, Jesus died once for all. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Christ died, He suffered once for sins for all time, the just, meaning Jesus, for the unjust, that means you and me. Hebrews 10:10, the offering of Jesus was once for all. We can make our way. He did that. We don't have to worry about trying to earn our salvation, but through grace, as it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, grace are we saved through faith. This is not of works that we would boast. Hebrews 9:28 tells us that He was offered once to bear the sins of many, and those many are the ones who have accepted salvation in Him. What promises we see! My word. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11 describes it as rest. Luke 16 talks about heaven as being a place of comfort. Matthew 25, Jesus Himself says it is a place of joy. And Romans 10 verse 11 says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. Heaven will not be disappointing by any stretch of the imagination. We're in Revelation chapter 19, and I want us to look at one verse. But before I do, let me just tell you once again, thank you so much for being part of our ministry through your giving. It looks like I'll be talking tomorrow with some friends here, that are helping us organize and directing over to a seller on a vehicle. We're looking at a new vehicle. My Honda CR-V is now cresting 235,000 miles. And with all of the traveling, we're just in prayer that we would be able to get a new vehicle. Well, not a brand new vehicle, but one with much lower mileage. And it might just be so. We have a car fund set in our ministry. If you feel that you want to give toward that, then please let me know. You can go to our website and partner with us, and there you can give a gift. We are tax-deductible, 501c3 corporation, and so you will receive a receipt, tax-deductible gift. Now, in my travels, this weekend I'm going to be in Slidell, Louisiana, down with some wonderful followers, Ed and his family, and he runs Rebel Coffee Roastery. And I will be down there at Rebel Coffee Roastery at 33567 Liberty Drive in Slidell, Louisiana at 2:30. That is going to be Louisiana time, which will be Central time in Slidell on Saturday, this Saturday the 17th. And then on Sunday the 18th, I will be at the Lone Star State. I'll be in Texas at South Dayton Baptist Church. Pastor Mike Melligan welcomes one and all to the morning and evening service. This will be my second time there. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. Then on the 21st, I will be back in South Carolina, here in Upcountry, South Carolina, at Holly Springs Baptist Church on a Wednesday night in the evening, talking about heaven, sharing the joys and the truths of heaven. Holly Springs Baptist Church, that is over in Pickens, South Carolina. And then the following week, to round out February, I'll be going just down from me into Georgia, Fayetteville, Georgia. I will be speaking over the weekend. It's a Heaven is Home conference. You can come to one or all sessions. It doesn't cost you a cent there. And Pastor Brian Parrish welcomes you there. We start about 5:30 on Saturday evening. Fayetteville, it's at Lisbon, L-I-S-B-O-N, Lisbon Baptist Church. in Fayetteville, Georgia, Saturday and Sunday. And included in all of these are Q&A times. You can write down questions. You can raise your hand, ask questions. You can slip me a note on that, and I'll do the best I can. Looking forward to getting back on the road this last weekend in the Chesapeake Bay area. Wonderful time in Maryland and in Delaware. I'll share more in future podcasts, but for right now, let's go back into Revelation. As we're looking in Revelation, we're moving through this apocalyptic chapter, which some people would call the Armageddon chapter. But before we get there, we're seeing the celebrations and the marriage supper of the Lamb has been promised and prepared. We're getting all ready. There's a great excitement for the believers. And then we go to verse 10, which starts right before the judgments of Armageddon. And I want to stop on this one verse, because this is a most curious verse in the sense of what's been going on in heaven. And John just does something here that's, it just throws me. It throws us all in here. So when all this is happening, the great celebration, verse 19, John speaking, "Then I fell down at the angel's feet to worship him," "And he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" John, he is going to worship this angel. And then we're going to go over here when we take a look at this, as if that isn't something. You move over to Revelation chapter 22, and you go down to verse 9, and he does the same thing. Well, verse 8, "I, John, am the one who saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. And he said, 'You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book.'" Once again, he says, "Worship God." Well, this is kind of embarrassing. And as a matter of fact, this is a dangerous thing. This is idolatry. Why would he worship an angel? What's going on here? When we take a look at this, this angel, the first thought that I have is it must be something quite intimidating or glorious looking for John to find that it looks like it should be the object of worship. There, okay, obviously we know it's wrong, but there's something there that's intriguing that he has done this. When he goes over there and he starts to worship, this angel, when we see this, "I fell at his feet," in Revelation 19 and verse 10, he says, "See that you do it not." When this must be, maybe he thought that the angel was a representative and he was an emissary that should be given obeisance, maybe. But, my word, you're going to see in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus receives the worship of angels. It's not that man worships angels. Jesus is better than the angels. That's what it starts off in telling us. In the book of Hebrews, the unofficial title of Hebrews is Jesus is better. He's better than the law. He's better than the forefathers. He's better than the angels. And now we see this. We are told by the angel, "I'm your fellow servant." Now, we're going to be doing different things in heaven, obviously. The redeemed and the angels will be doing different things, but we're alongside one another, singing together. Revelation chapter 15 gives us the idea. We'll be singing and celebrating. Revelation 5, the angels are all around in celebration. When we see this, this tells us that we're to look alongside angels at the wonder of the Lord. But what I want to do in this time, in the minutes that we have here, is talk a bit about these angels. Very curious. If John is wanting to worship one, and he's corrected twice, and then he realized, we see something here. These are not people who have become ones who sprout wings. We don't see that at all. The Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek translate this word angel as ambassador, messenger, deputy, and minister. We see in Psalm 104, verse 4, it says that the Lord makes angels his messengers, flaming fire of his ministers. This is not a personal name. Angels is an office. It's a title describing what they do. They are indeed personal beings. They're not such like an ethereal thought or anything. They are actually there. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, the Lord says that there are angels that have fallen, obviously. Matthew 25:41 says, "Then He will say to those on his left, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So this condemnation was prepared for devil and his angels. It was not made for man to go down there. He is breaking into an area that was prescribed and constructed for angels in the rebellion. We know of three angel names, angelic names, the personal names. Lucifer, that's the name of the devil before he fell. After he fell, he's constantly referred to as Satan. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 tells us this, How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. We also see a name, Michael. You see him mentioned in the books of Daniel, Revelation, Jude as well. Michael the archangel, Jude verse 9, Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, The Lord rebuke you. Michael is a warrior angel in this great mystery about the fight over the body of Moses. Perhaps the satanic forces wanted to use the body of Moses for idolatry. Michael fights them. We also see the name of Gabriel, this one who seems to be announcing all the time. You see this name, he's in Daniel, he's in Luke. Daniel chapter 8, for example. I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. You will see that Gabriel appears to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 19. The angel answering said unto him, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I'm sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. These are created beings. Now, right now, they're superior to man. But we don't have these, as we see pictures with these gigantic wings and things, they do have bodies, but they're not flesh and bone like our bodies. This is a very powerful thing for us to know. They are, even though they have great power. Think of the angels in the Euphrates in chapter 7 of Revelation. These ones have great power to destroy, to move things, but they're not eternal. They were created before man. Job chapter 38 and verse 7, they were applauding man, God as he was making creation. We see Eve saw Satan as an angel of light, and there is the danger of us the same way. 2 Corinthians 11:14, he will disguise himself as an angel of light. So he's a deceiver, the fallen angels here. But when we die, we do not become an angel. We do, at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, we will become like Jesus. We will see him as he is. And it tells us 1 John 3, 2, in addition to becoming the children of God, we shall see him like as he is, and we shall be like him. The angels are created. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. By him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That's an important phrase, and for him. That angels were to be ministering to him, and at this time they minister to us. They help us as well on here. But they're not subservient to us here, but they follow the Lord here. We don't really know how many angels there are. We know that there must be a huge number. Hebrews 12:22 says, You've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. We see them in massive numbers in Revelation chapter 5. It goes beyond count. Thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. But they are spirits. Psalm 104 and verse 4, He makes angels his messengers, flaming fires of his ministers. They do have bodies that can appear to be human. In John chapter 20, verse 12, Mary saw two angels while sitting, in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet at the tomb of Jesus where the body of Jesus had been lain. So they give an appearance like that. They are all given in the masculine gender. They are given, when we see throughout the scriptures, we don't see any reference to female angels within the scriptures. Young man is a term that is used in Mark chapter 16, verses 5 and 6. Entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, clothed in a long white garment. And they were afraid. And he said, don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. So this young man must have been in somewhat of a very powerful appearance here. They are celibate. Angels do not marry. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30 tells us this. There's no record of anything of having any angel babies, angels that are husband and wife or anything like that. Jesus himself says this in Matthew chapter 22. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So there is no marriage, anything along that line. But we also know that Luke chapter 20 says this, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels, the children of God being the children of the resurrection. Luke 20, verses 35 and 36 tell us that angels alongside us will have an eternal existence, and oh, they're mighty. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. They're not omnipotent. Understand that. They are mighty. We see this. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his, and the term is mighty angels. And yet they're subordinate to the Lord. 1 Peter 3:22. Jesus Christ has gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. We find this in here, and this is why the angels are so surprised in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 9, when John goes to worship them. John, what are you doing? You don't worship us. Well, they must be intimidating, as we're seeing here. There is indeed this powerful presentation of these angels here, but they are subordinate to Jesus. Always remember, Jesus is the center of worship, of the attention. These are created, and right now they're superior to man. But when we see this, we see the different types of angels have different ministrations to the Lord. On this, we see that the special angel, the angel of the Lord, this one presented as no other angel in the scriptures. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see it, quote, the angel of the Lord, it's just a special name for a special angel, messenger. It's not to bring Jesus down to equal with the angels. In presenting himself to Hagar and Abraham and Gideon, we have that special one. That is alone a designation so that you might see the Old Testament appearance of Christ, and that is known as a Christophany. There are terms, though, that are used. Cherubim. You have one cherub, many cherubim. Cherub is singular, cherubim is plural, and they're very mighty. We always see that they are at the throne of God. They are protecting. At the Garden of Eden, they were to stand in an authoritative way. They placed them there to keep Adam and Eve from re-entering the garden. They were designed. If you look on the Ark of the Covenant, the drawings, the different facsimiles of the Ark of the Covenant, you'll see the images of the cherubim. They were made of gold, overlook the mercy seat there. And that mercy seat represents the type of Christ. So they're overlooking the work of Christ there. And when we see these cherubim, we have them in opposition to another reference to ones called seraphim. These are only mentioned once in Isaiah, and they're celebrating the Lord. They literally mean the burning ones. They're attentive to the Lord. And we see this in Isaiah chapter 6 in verses 1 and 2 and 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it there were the seraphim. Each one had six wings. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. They have six wings. Now look at this, and I can talk for a very long time on the wonders of these ones called angels, but as I'm limited on time, I wanted to share with you these wonderful co-workers with us in heaven. We can talk some more on angels, and perhaps I'll do this week in our live streams, but we find other residents of heaven, the redeemed and also the angels, wonderful residents of heaven right now, in which we'll share the glory here and in the new earth, the times to come. Hey, thank you so much. As we look at this, we're reminded of these angels. I thank you for listening to me and leaving you with one word. There's a very curious passage in 1 Corinthians 6:3 that we will judge angels. The word in the Greek means we'll have authority over them. In what way? One can only guess. It's beyond our imagination. We just really don't know for sure. That's just another one of the many mysteries that we're learning about heaven. I want to thank you for this time. Now we're going to be talking in our next studies about Armageddon, God's judgment, Jesus coming down, and now the victories start coming very quickly. Thank you, God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
In order for the Heaven Tour to continue fulfilling our mission, we humbly ask for your support. Your generosity allows us to continue to proclaim and explain the biblical truth of heaven and to mentor many. All eligible donations are tax deductible, so please prayerfully consider an end-of-year gift. You can send your gift to the Heaven Tour, P.O. Box 795 Pickens, South Carolina 29671. Thank you and have a blessed Thanksgiving.